pray. Heavenly Father, we gather here one last time to study about Adam, your first creation, your first created human, Lord. And so often we see him set apart because he is, but we also see a lot of ourselves in him. And so help us to learn from his example, to follow Jesus in what he did rather than what Adam did. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we've just spent the last 3 weeks, hasn't it been 3 weeks? Comparing Adam and Jesus and why we would call Jesus the second Adam or the last Adam. My contention is that he was neither one of those. Jesus is the perfect Adam. He did everything perfectly that Adam couldn't do. Because of his sin. And so what are we doing in chapter 3 then? Why are we going to look at the fall? When that doesn't really have a whole lot to do with Jesus. It does in some way, but probably not what you think. But really, I think we've spent so much time looking at Adam and what he was supposed to do or not supposed to do. And I think if we kind of work our way through the fall story, we can see where Adam went wrong in everything that he was supposed to do. So that's what we're gonna do today. I'm not gonna be here next week, so we're gonna kind of wrap this all up in one shot, and hopefully we got enough time. Lots of stuff to cover. So let's go to chapter 3, the fall of man. Okay, so Genesis chapter 3. And it's the main theme here with this is the first sin. Okay, because there isn't any sin in Genesis up until we get to chapter 3, right? So let's take a look at this. So just starting right there at the first verse. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Okay, now what's interesting here is, notice that Eve is not Eve yet. She's still Isha. She's still the woman. Okay, and Adam is still Ish, the man. Okay, that's what they call themselves. Okay, and so that's the way Moses records this, as Isha. She's not Eve yet. And so, did God really say? That's what the serpent says. What he's saying is, are you sure you heard him correctly? Are you sure you heard God right? So what is the purpose of that? What is he trying to do?
Make you question yourself. Well, and make you doubt God, too.
Yes, he's trying to raise doubt in what God has said.
And he didn't really mean what he said.
Yeah, he didn't mean what he said. Okay? So we're trying to raise doubt in here. Now, here's the part that I think if you look at a lot of paintings of Adam and Eve and the serpent from the medieval times, there's just all kinds of weird stuff that's going on. But let's look at creation as we understand creation to be. Do we look different than Adam and Eve did?
No.
No, but we're just infused with sin.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we're not perfect. We don't hold that perfect image of God. So let's use that. Let's sort of extrapolate that out. Do horses today look like they did when they were created?
Most likely.
Probably. You know, there's genetic mutation that takes place over time. Okay. So a lot of birds still have feathers like they did back then. And serpents and snakes very likely looked like they do now. Okay. You see paintings from way back where serpents have wings or they have human heads or it's all kinds of weird stuff. But let's just take it that we look the way Adam and Eve probably looked. Very similar. Serpent probably looked very similar to what we would see today. If that's the case, animals don't talk.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't. But this one is, right? Okay. So Satan is clearly using the snake as a disguise, and she knows animals don't talk. Because they don't. And yet she engages in the conversation. Okay, this should have been a giant red flag that goes
on.
So if she's what is she actually discussing with Satan? She's debating the goodness of God. Right? Because God has given them everything. And Satan says, has he really given you everything? Okay. So, let's go down to verse 3.
I'm sorry. But is it the fact that Adam was told that by God directly prior to Eve being created, though? And so it was Adam who told her not to eat the tree?
Well, let's get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a whole...
So, I mean, the down...
I got a long trail I'm following here. So, okay. But that's a great observation. Okay. So, verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, you know, you may do all this stuff. You must not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Can't even... So, verse 3 is the key. But God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. So the question then becomes, where did the you must not touch it? Where did that come from?
That was Adam.
Okay, well, now, I had a professor at the seminary, and he was convinced that this was mankind's first attempt at putting barriers around the law. Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is that God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses. Moses gives the Ten Commandments to the people. And by the time Jesus arrives, how many laws are there? There's hundreds. There's 613 or something like that. Okay. And the scribes and the Pharisees put so many more laws on each, it was crazy. Remember what God said. God said, keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But to the Pharisees, mixing mud to put on the eyes of a blind man, Jesus was tilling, he was working, he was farming the earth, which was breaking the Sabbath. So those are those kind of barriers that go up around the law. Well, many think that this is where that began. Okay? I'm not so sure. In light of what we've already studied about Adam and Eve, I offer something different. Remember Adam's role. What is his role? He is to subdue and to care for all creation. Who does that include?
Eve.
It includes Eve, yeah. Okay. I can imagine after his creation, after her creation, Adam giving her a tour of the new home, right? Show you around. And now that he is completed by her, remember Adam was not complete until Eve was made. Right? He was not complete. He didn't even have a name until Eve was made. From him. The taking of Eve from him completes them both. Okay? So as they're taking the tour, that tree in the center, don't eat from that or we'll die. In fact, don't even touch it. Let's just stay away altogether. Right? Now, is there anything wrong? Is Adam adding to the law there?
If he said don't touch it, but we don't know if he said that.
God didn't say don't touch it.
That's right.
It was
we don't
probably Adam.
Do you think Adam said it?
Yeah.
Well, I think the devil said it.
But Eve's the one who said it then.
Yeah, Eve's the one that has that in her head. Okay? Because she's the one that speaks it. I'm saying, where did that come from? Maybe she made it up, but that's not the way their roles were in the garden. Adam was in charge of Eve. As much as people hate to hear those words today, that's just the way it was. He was like the sheep. He's like the shepherd guarding the sheep. Okay? So if we just stay away from it altogether. So this is before the fall. Both are completely in line with God's will. Right? Part of that is Adam being in charge of all creation. Eve being perfectly in God's will would have no issue with Adam being in charge. It was not a burden to submit to his prohibition of not touching that. Okay? For Adam to say don't touch it would not have made Eve want to touch it. Okay? Like it is today. You know, tell your kids, don't hang out with that person. What's the first thing you're doing?
Go in the cookie jar.
Yeah, don't go to that side of town. First thing they do when they get the car is they go to that side of town. Okay.
Right.
So if that's the case, what is Eve doing there by the tree? What is she doing there if she was supposed to not be with it? Right? Okay. Why is she there talking to the serpent?
She needed something to do.
Okay. If she's by the tree and she's talking to the serpent, then something else has gone awry. Something else has fallen apart. Now, how much time has passed between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3? No way of knowing. No way of knowing. Okay. It's not the next day. We know that. Why? Because it was the Sabbath day. Everybody just lounged around all day. Just like God did. Okay? Took the day off. So it's at least 2 days passed. But clearly some time has passed. Right? Now we move to verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it and she ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Okay, now.
So they were both there.
Super scholarly people debate all kinds of reasons for Eve's actions. She didn't believe God at his word is always one of them. Another one is she thought God was withholding something good from them. Okay. And so on and so on and so on. But I think it's way simpler than that. I think that at some point after chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, Adam had given up his role as head of the family. Somewhere along the line, he said, either I don't want to, or I want this. And he started following his own will rather than God's will. And at that point, he ceases being the worker and the caretaker of creation, even Eve. Okay? So when Adam abandons the command that God gave him, like I said, at some point he says, I don't want to do this anymore. When he abandons the commands to subdue and rule, to work and care, it's only a matter of time before everything falls apart. If Adam at one point says, I don't want to do this anymore, immediately that digital clock on the time bomb starts counting down from 2 minutes down to zero, right? See it in all the movies? It automatically starts kicking down by the seconds. Tick, 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 tick. And when it reaches zero, where are we at?
Boom.
We're with Eve and the serpent at the tree.
Yeah.
Okay, Beth?
Yes.
So Adam fell first.
Great student. You are very good. You're catching on already. And we see this play out in this very verse. How do we see it play out in the verse?
She gave the fruit. I'm about to say apple.
It's way easier than that. A talking serpent debating with Eve this existential theological topic. Everything about this scene is wrong, isn't it? There's nothing here that's right. And yet Adam is right there, and he's watching the entire thing unfold.
And letting it happen.
Immediately, he has shirked his responsibility. Remember, he is supposed to be the one who subdues and rules and works and cares, and he does it the same way a shepherd subdues and rules and cares for his flock of sheep. Adam the shepherd is standing there watching one of his sheep, Eve, walk directly into the lion's den, and he does nothing. He just lets her go. And then, we'll get there. Okay, so he has shirked his responsibility. He should have immediately been there between the serpent and Eve and putting a stop to us. He was to serve creation like a shepherd And he didn't do it. But in this case, he saw one of his sheep wandering off and did nothing. He let it go. In fact, Adam had so abandoned his role, he's now a follower. He's no longer a leader. Eve has taken charge of the whole system.
That's what women do.
Yeah, I wasn't going there. Eve takes control. She was not created to be the the subduer, ruler, worker, or caretaker. And now Eve is making the decisions on what constitutes ruling and caring.
This is heavy stuff.
And he follows her. Adam follows her. Adam just is like,
you sure he didn't put her up to it?
Whatever you say.
I think he did.
Now, does that take the responsibility off of Eve because Adam was the first one that started screwing up the system?
No.
No, Eve is responsible for her own sin.
Yes.
She did it. She's responsible. Everybody is responsible for their own sin. But I contend the first sin is that Adam is responsible for putting her in that position. It's his fault. It's his fault that the system fell apart.
And we've been paying for it ever since.
And
it's interesting how many people blame Eve.
Yeah, we all blame Eve. You know, he's like, oh, Eve did it. But that's why I say when you dig deeper into this, I think we can make some rational thoughts about it. Yeah, John.
It's always easy to blame somebody else.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
I have to do that.
Yep. Okay, so a couple of highlights. As soon as they sin, they become ashamed of their own bodies. Immediately, right? Isn't that what it said?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. They were naked and they tried to cover up. They didn't do a very good job. Okay. Then what's the next thing that happens?
God comes
fear. No, not God. Fear.
Fear
is the next thing.
They hide.
Why are they afraid? Because they hear God coming.
Yeah.
So they're afraid.
Right. Okay. They did wrong.
Yeah, okay. Fear is a result of sin. There was no fear before they broke God's law. Now there is. The next thing that happens is that they turn on each other, right? So the relationship between Adam and Eve breaks as Adam fully and completely abandons his role as leader and protector. That woman you put here, it's her fault. What he does. Is he still trying to be the protector? What would he have done?
He
would have stood between her and God and said something other than that.
Acknowledged it.
Right. At least Eve blames the serpent. She doesn't blame Adam. Okay. Here's a little side note. A question to ponder. What if Adam had said when God confronted him, I broke your law, and I'm sorry, and I confess my actions to you?
He wasn't smart enough.
He would be forgiven.
What's that?
He would be forgiven by God.
And so everything just would have kept on going.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah. He would. He did not. He did not have the spirit at that point.
Because he's already committed the sin.
The sin is there. So yeah, the sin is there. So now we got to deal with the sin.
Because he said, you will surely die.
Right. Okay. I'm just throwing the question out. I don't think things would have carried on as normal. Something would have happened, but we don't know what. Okay. Okay.
Beverly raised her hand.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Remember when David sinned and he asked for forgiveness, but there were still consequences to that sin for David too.
But also remember, we haven't gotten to the punishments yet.
Right.
All we've gotten to is God talking to Adam.
Right.
So there's nothing. Okay. Let's come back to that. I'm going to get ahead of myself.
It's like the rest of us that. Before our baptism, we don't have a way to make ourselves alive.
Correct.
We don't have a way to get away from that death. And I think that's the way Adam was at this point.
Okay.
I think in him speaking to him the way he's doing, I think he's saying, you have a problem.
I think you're right for two reasons. The first one is that this is before the promise of the Savior is given to Adam. Before the promise of the coming Savior is given to Adam, he's talking with God. So there's nothing to have faith in, because all of our sin is forgiven by faith in the Old Testament by believing that Jesus is going to come, and in the New Testament by Jesus having come and faith in what he did.
Is it then that they covered themselves, that Adam knew that he did wrong, and he should have not done it in the first place, but he knew that God was there, that he could cover this up, or if he had just said, you know what, forgive it. But he tried to cover up.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get, I think we're going to work through why simply saying, I'm sorry, wouldn't have worked.
Oh dear. But God covered them up again, though, with a cloth.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
That's after the punishments.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get to the punishments here. This is the fun part. Okay, so we start with the serpent. Cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. Will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life.
But that was what he was expected to do.
Why is the punishment to do what he already does?
Yes.
Okay, this might sound weird.
Maybe he had legs.
Snakes look like snakes. We already covered that. Yes.
I'm sorry. I agree with her.
A reptile.
Scientists have gone back and they say that there are on some snakes there are places where they could have had legs like some of the chameleons and the mm-hmm. other stuff, you know. Lizards. He could have been more of a lizard than he could have been a called snake. And okay. now he's a snake.
Did when they were in the wilderness and people were getting bitten by the fiery snakes, did they put a lizard on a pole?
No,
a serpent.
Well,
they put a serpent. It's the same name in
later.
Genesis as it is.
But this is later, right?
Yeah. Same name in Genesis as it is in others. Okay. So why is this punishment to do what he does? I don't know. With the gospel promise, there is always a hope of restoration, right? For anybody. But this seems to indicate that there will not be a restoration. The restoration will not affect the serpent.
The same way it's the devil.
The same way that it affects everything else. Go ahead, Paul.
Given how sinful we know ourselves to be, mm-hmm. do you think Adam ever stood a chance?
You know, that's a great question. Was this, what you're saying is, was this destined to fail?
I mean, to me, unless he was fundamentally different than the rest of us, he didn't stand a chance.
He is fundamentally different, because he's the only one created the way he was created.
Yes.
He was sinless at the beginning.
He was sinless, pure, and holy. But he still started looking at himself in the mirror, saying, I think I want to do what I want to do.
But you're probably right.
That's
the same, just to expand on that, I mean, when mm-hmm. God looked upon us, and he looked just at how bad, you know, he wasn't terribly pleased with his creation.
No, especially in Noah's time.
Well, I mean, but for good reason. I don't know. I mean, okay.
Well, when he creates Adam and Eve, at the end of the first chapter of chapter
good.
One, it was whole. It was perfect. It's exactly how God wanted it to be.
Right.
God created them with the capacity to turn on him. Because they did.
They gave him
free will.
They were the only two people ever created that could exercise free will. Nobody else can. Now, I can say, well, I can go to McDonald's or I can go to Burger King for lunch. You know, I can make that decision. But a person cannot wake up one morning and decide to believe in God, who's never heard the gospel. The only thing you can do is move farther away from God. That's not free will. That's bondage to the will. That's bondage to your will. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit creating faith in the hearts of a person can a person say, yeah, I get it. Today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do what God wants me to do.
feel.
That's why there's no such thing. There is free will, but not when it comes to God. A dead body cannot make itself alive again.
That's true.
And but Paul was pretty clear, we were all dead things before we heard the gospel. Okay? So, Adam and Eve were created with the ability to turn on God. Doesn't mean they were going to. But what we read is that they did.
Yeah. So the free will really is to listen to what God has told us. And that's what you're saying is the free will that Adam and Eve had. That they didn't listen to his word.
Yeah, they had the ability to say, I'm going to do the will of God, or I'm not going to do the will of God. That was their created ability. Once sin enters into the world, every person that is filled with sin cannot choose to do God's will apart from the Holy Spirit. See? That's the difference.
So was the sin through Eve, or was sin when you talk about how Adam decided I'm going to no longer do it?
I think that's where it all started. Now, was that part of the law that God gave to Adam? He didn't say be subdue and rule, and if you don't, you'll die. He just says subdue and rule, don't eat the fruit. He stops subduing and ruling, and that begins that countdown to the serpent and Eve. Okay? So, okay, one more.
Back to the serpent.
What's that?
Back to the serpent.
Okay.
It's not just every snake that did that. This is a special serpent that talks. And so it's not really the snake that's a problem. It's Satan.
Oh, yeah. We haven't gotten to him yet.
But that's what's always going to be. He's never going to be anything except.
Right. We'll get to him in connection with the serpent. Okay.
Just a thought that occurs to me when thinking about free will. The ultimate question is, am I going to acknowledge God to be God, or am I going to acknowledge myself to be God?
Yeah.
And there's your choice.
That's the choice. And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot choose God. You can only choose yourself. That's not freedom. That's not freedom at all. That just moves you farther away. Every decision you make moves you farther away, because you're always choosing yourself. Okay, we got to move on. We're going to run out of time. Okay, so so in this punishment, cursed above all livestock, the first half of this is the serpent. The second half is Satan.
Is now, who?
Satan.
Yes.
Now, the first half is a serpent that Satan commandeers.
Right.
Think it was anything special, could look like any other one that was around.
Right.
Satan just sort of commandeers this one in order to talk to Eve. Okay. And so the second half is Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman. Okay, this doesn't mean that all women hate snakes. We got to get off of that one right now. What that means is that there is going to be hatred between Satan and mankind. Okay? Satan hates people. Okay? And you see it right here, between your offspring and hers. Okay? That's the hatred. And then comes the proto-oyangelion, the first gospel. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Okay? So that's the punishment for Satan. What is the punishment for Satan? Satan's punishment is that he loses in the end.
Yeah.
He's crushed. Okay? And the offspring from Eve, which eventually becomes Jesus, wins. Okay, so there we go. Now, the punishment so far for the serpent is something that he understands, right? The serpent moves across the ground. And what's his punishment? To do that forever.
Yeah.
Something he understands. So let's go to Adam. So Adam's punishment all has to do with basically farming and gathering food, right? Curses the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns, thistles, and you will eat the plants of the field. Sweat of your brow, you will eat food until you return to the ground from which you were taken. You are dust, and dust you will return. Okay, so this all has to do with food and the difficulty in providing food for himself, you know, and Eve. Dirt, thistles, lack of water, and so on. It's all going to be the issue for Adam. What makes this such a harsh punishment is because of the fact that Adam, for however long they lived in the garden, we don't know how long,
right.
However long they lived in the garden, they could just walk around and everything was provided.
Yeah.
They didn't have to work for it. It was just all there. What are we having for dinner tonight? I don't know. What's here? You know, and there it is, right? Everything's provided. God gave them everything. They didn't have to work for it. Now he does. God took something that he knew, that Adam knew, gathering food, and did what to it? Made it far worse. Made it exponentially worse to have to do that. It's the same thing we do with our kids, right? Telling them to stop doing something, I'm going to take away your cell phone. They keep doing it, what do? Take away your cell phone. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've had teenagers. For me, it hasn't been that long. A teenager without a cell phone, they might as well be living on the moon, okay? They are absolutely cut off from all society. And so that's the worst thing you can do. The punishment has to mean something. It would have done no good to punish Adam with something he didn't understand. Right?
Right.
If your daughter keeps doing whatever and you tell her to stop doing that and she keeps doing it and I say, your punishment is that you can't change the oil on the car. You're like, what does that even mean? I have no clue. That's not punishment, right? Okay? What if God comes to Adam and says, you know what, you did this and now I'm not going to let you build a rocket. It's like, what's a rocket? Okay, whatever. You know, it's just like it's no big deal. God took something and made it exponentially worse. Something they understood.
Yeah.
Now let's apply that to Eve. Verse 16. I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to your children. God has taken what the serpent knew and made it worse by never being released from it. God took what Adam knew, gathering food, and made it exponentially harder to do. So then Eve.
She's not a baby.
What?
She hasn't had a baby yet, has she?
Has she?
I would say she has.
She... If all of the punishments are something they understand, if Eve has not had any children yet, she's like changing the oil on the car. She said, you're going to have terrible pains giving birth. And Eve's like, I don't even know what that means. But if she knows what that means,
she will.
No, it's not a will. Everything here they already understand.
Sure.
These punishments are already something they understand. That's what I'm getting at. I don't want to get thrown out of the synod. I'm just trying to look at this in a different in a different way than we're always just sort of like, bang, 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 she sinned, kick him out, let's go off. We got to get to Noah because the flood story's fun.
Did she understand pain before this?
Yeah. No, she understood childbirth.
If she understood childbirth, my guess is that would
pain in childbirth.
She didn't have any children yet.
We don't know.
We don't know anything about that time period between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3.
We don't know.
Okay, I'm making the case differently than what you've been taught your whole life.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm not saying that what I'm trying to say is the right way and everybody for 2,000 years has been wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, look, God gave us brains, he gave us reason, and he gave us a whole bunch of stuff to read. Now let's see if we can put some of this together to where it makes a little more sense. None of it changes our theology of salvation through Jesus. None of it changes our doctrine on creation. None of this does. This is just something for everybody to kick around a little bit and read Genesis from a different angle. That's all I'm saying. Okay? So, if God took something that Eve already knew and made it exponentially worse, if Eve is childless, she would have no frame of reference for this punishment. Pain at childbirth? What do you mean? Because if you... Now let's look at the others that Eve has to do. That is her punishment. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Well, what does that mean? Well, the sexuality of Adam and Eve expressed itself perfectly within God's will for them, for each of them and for him, right? They knew all about it. They knew how the system worked. Okay. And while sinless, they were in complete control over it. It wasn't an issue for them. Listen to our matrimony address that comes out of our hymnal. The union of husband and wife in heart, mind, and body is intended by God for mutual companionship, help, support, and also ordained that man and woman may find delight in one another. Okay? But now God is saying what? Your desire. Well, what does desire mean? Okay, we all have our own sort of 2024 definition of desire, right?
Right.
Well, the Hebrew is very much in line with what we would say, that it is a longing of a woman for a man or longing of a man for a woman. But what does the Septuagint say? The word that the Septuagint translators use is defined as turning or having one's course turned. Okay? So, the idea is that the Septuagint is that the perfect relationship with you shared with your husband is now different. It's no longer what it was. It is going to be a relationship of desire, lust, and self-gratification. Not perfectly in line with what God wants. Where none of those things existed before. Yeah, perfect. It's the self. It's the self, one of these things. Okay. And finally, at her creation, Eve was happy to fill her role as a suitable helper, a supporter, doing everything that Adam wanted her to do because she understood that what Adam was doing was protecting and caring for her.
Mm-hmm. But she's...
And now Adam's going to rule over her. This is not the same rule as in chapter 1, verse 28. Remember that one was subdue and rule? Mm-hmm. This is a different rule. It's a different Hebrew word. This one is to rule over a human subject. Now Adam becomes the authoritarian over Eve. Adam is in charge, and what he says goes. And she's not going to like it. What do you say? Yes.
Isn't that what the Muslims believe, that the man is rules over the woman?
Well, yeah.
That's
where it comes from.
Yeah.
Is
this where our patriarchy comes from?
Yes.
Because Christianity is a patriarchal society.
Yeah, it's...
And if you want to get into an argument with somebody today, all you have to do is mention that word. And it's like the nuclear button.
Right. Yeah. We call it the created order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the way it was. Now, remember, how many times have I said scripture always moves from lesser to greater?
Many times.
Too many.
No, not too many.
I don't even have to say it anymore. But not when it comes to punishments. Remember our study in Amos, where God says, those fancy houses you guys built, you're not going to live in. Those ivory beds, you're not going to lay on. The vineyards you planted, you're not going to drink your wine. It goes from good to bad. And that's what we're seeing here in this punishment. Everything is going from good to bad. It's going the opposite direction. Good to bad. Eve was happy in her helper role. Now she will feel the pressure of dominance of Adam. She's not going to like it. She just is not going to like it. Okay? Let's look at one more thing before we bring all this together. I'm actually going somewhere with all of this. It's not just a bunch of jumbled stuff. Verse 22. The Lord God said, Yahweh Elohim said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good from evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Yeah. How much time do we ever spend on that verse?
Not many.
None, okay? We never spend any time on that verse. So let's do that. So Adam is created in the image of God. He's pure, righteous, and he's holy. He is created different. He's different than every other human being that has ever been, but he's still created. He's still a creature. He still came out of the dirt, right?
Right.
So, therefore, when Yahweh Elohim says he will become like one of us, knowing good from evil, he is not saying that Adam will become divine. Adam will be forever creature. Right? But he fully now understands good from evil because he lived good. Do we humans today fully understand good? No.
I'm not sure.
Because everything is filtered through our sinful nature.
Yeah.
Everything is. Okay? He understood what true good was. And now he knows what evil is. Okay? Does that mean the only way to understand good and evil is to have sinned? Well,
how else would you have learned it?
That's how Adam learned it, but that's not how we learned it. Is God talking about the sinful nature? Well, Adam is still a creature. He lost the full image of God. He is sinful, knowing good from evil, and yet if he eats from the tree of life, he will live forever. This is a very powerful tree, isn't it?
Yes.
This I found this fascinating about God. God is, you can so count on him to acting the same way every single time that he says, if you eat from that tree, the tree of life, you'll live forever. Even when it's something horrible, if Adam does it, he still gets to live. Why? Because that's the way God said would happen. God doesn't change.
Okay, but Pastor, he cannot go outside of his nature, so he I don't know.
Okay, let's hang on to it there. So now we have what we call these two acts of mercy for Adam and Eve. What's the first one? Putting clothes on them that actually work, right? Instead of fig leaves.
Right.
But imagine now you're Adam. You're in the garden, okay? You're afraid. You're terrified, actually, because the sinless and pure holy God is now standing there. You are ashamed. Your relationship with Eve has been fractured. And then you wander up to the tree and you eat from it. And then you will live forever in that state of fear and shame and brokenness. So then the remedy for this becomes what?
Get him out of the garden.
Forcing him away from the tree.
Yeah.
Giving him what? A promise of a savior and forcing him outside of the garden. So that Adam can die in faith. Because when they die in faith, believing in the one that will come, their sins are forgiven. It is credited to them as righteousness. And when their sins are forgiven, then they can eat from the tree of life and live forever, pure, sinless, and holy. How many times have you talked to somebody and said, why was God so mean to kick them out of the garden? Because if he had left them there, they would have eaten from the tree and they would have been fear, shame, and brokenness for eternity.
So we killed a lion or some kind of animal and covered them with their skin, right? So yeah. Why didn't he just cut down the tree?
Why did he give them the choice to sin?
I know. Yeah.
Mary?
So haven't they already eaten?
No, they've eaten from the tree of good and of knowledge.
Okay, yeah. 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 There's two trees.
There's two trees.
Yeah.
There's two of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that this is an act of mercy by tossing him out of the garden so that he can die in faith so he can live forever forgiven.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he stays in the garden, eats from the tree, and lives forever in a state of fear, shame, and brokenness.
Yeah.
That'd be awful. That'd be awful. So what does God do? Verse 23, so the Lord banished him. Who did he banish?
Adam.
Adam. Who did Adam take with him?
Eve.
Well, it doesn't say that, but we figure it out, right? Because chapter 4, he's with him, right? So we find out later. Well, let's go to chapter 12. You don't have to go there, but...
I had one question there. Was the serpent also sent out of the garden?
It doesn't say, but I would assume so.
Because they eat the dust all the rest of their lives. I mean, that's not what was in the garden.
You wouldn't think it would be dusty, though. My guess is that everything is banished from the garden because everything is affected by sin. The sin affects everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So everything goes. So, I guess I hear pages turning, but so we'll go there.
You said chapter 12.
I was just going to comment on it, but
so
the call of Abraham.
Now?
The call of Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country and your people and your father's house and go to the land I will show you. That's Abraham's call. Who does God tell to leave?
Abraham.
Abraham. Who does he take with him?
Everybody.
He takes Sarai. Lot, he takes Sarai, and then who else? All of the people they gathered in Haran. So imagine this for a second. I just watched a good movie on Netflix here probably a week or two ago. I think time's a little screwy right now, but... and it was called The Only Son. It was about Abraham and have to sacrifice Isaac. Has anybody seen that? You saw it, right? Yeah, it was pretty good. But it always depicted Abraham and Sarah in this little tiny hut, this little tent, sort of in the desert or someplace. And that's just not what it would have been like. If you read here, the call, he's taking Sarai, he's taking Lot, all of their possessions and accumulations, and the people they acquired and set out. This is a massive caravan going by. Because if you've got any number of people, let's just count round numbers. Let's say there's 50 people. You know how much food it takes to feed 50 people a day?
Especially
a lot.
Especially walking.
Walking, and there's no Burger Kings on the off-ramp here for these people. Right? So they got to bring their... So this is a huge caravan that's going over to the land of Canaan. Okay? Well, let's bring this back to what we've been studying. Line right here. We're going to let Scripture interpret Scripture here for a minute. Let's jump ahead to when Cain kills Abel. What is Cain afraid of?
Punishment.
No. What's Cain afraid of?
Being killed.
Being killed by who? Other people. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 4, we read that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Now all of a sudden, Cain kills Abel, and he's terrified of being killed by other people. So who would those other people be? Family, correct. Okay? Now, how old is Cain and Abel at this point? We have no idea yet. So they might be 200 years old. If that's the case, that's 200 years of more generations of people coming from Adam and Eve.
Or they might be 40.
Okay, so...
You love to do that, don't you?
We don't know how old they are. Okay, we don't know. Again, when you see them in movies, there are these two young, strapping guys
that's true.
Early 20s, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the way Scripture sort of portrays it. But that odd line about these other people, so either Cain and Abel had been learning how to farm and raise animals for a really long time, or there's another explanation. Okay. We don't know how long Adam and Eve lived before the fall. But for a certain amount of time, they lived and followed all of God's commands, right? They subdued, they ruled, they worked, they cared, and what else were they commanded to do?
Multiply.
Okay? Is it a stretch to think that when Adam is banished from the garden, there could possibly have been generations of them that went out with them? And then Cain and Abel become the first two born post-fall. And when Cain kills Abel, he's got a bunch of nephews and nieces and all of these other people out there that would say, that dude killed our brother, and be upset. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that this is how it is. I'm just trying to look at what Scripture says and sort of draw a picture. And if we're going to let Scripture interpret Scripture, when Abraham is called and sent, massive amount of people went with him. When Adam is sent out of the garden, it's not a stretch to say, could have been a lot of people went with him. Because sin affected everything. It wasn't like, let's just we're throwing it all up against the wall here. Let's say there was 200 children, or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, however many. Soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they would have all had the same thing happen to them. They would have understood shame and fear and all of that stuff. Just like the trees and the rocks and all of the animals, everything. Yes, ma'am.
This goes back to verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. It says that she did have children before.
That's the point I was making 10 minutes ago.
Right.
I can't believe I didn't make it. Okay. So if the punishment is to make her childbearing exponentially more painful, then she would have understood that childbearing was either uncomfortable or something weird. I mean, we've all seen videos of farm animals having cows and horses. You know, the horses isn't screaming in pain and writhing all over the ground. It's something natural that happens. But God says, you know how it was? Oh, you're going to hate it now.
Yeah.
So
it's not going to be fun now.
Yeah. Again, this is being recorded, so it's going to be sent out off to the ether. We might have to edit this one a little bit. All I'm saying is that some of this is a possibility.
Yeah.
Okay. But it does not change anything about our salvation through Christ. So ultimately, it's unimportant. But if we just look and see what God is saying to these people, it makes more sense that Cain kills Abel, and then Cain is sent out, and for some other reason there was other people out there that we don't know about. Well, there's only two people they could have come from.
Yeah.
Is that me? So when did they come? Was there a whole bunch of generations after the fall? Or was it a whole bunch of generations before the fall and then after the fall? We don't know. You don't know? Mm-hmm. You don't know.
It doesn't say how old Adam and Eve were before they got thrown out.
We don't know anything about it. It could have, they might have lived there for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Just
perfect.
Yeah. But see, that part of the story is unimportant. What's the important part of the story? Is that they sinned and God said, okay, I'm going to fix it. That's the important part of the story. Okay. So that means they all would have had to go. Because any of them had eaten from the tree of life would have lived in that perpetual state of fear and shame and brokenness. And God in his mercy says, no, that's a bad thing. So I'm not going to do it. Okay, that's it. That was an hour. I'm not doing any more. So. So let's pray before we go. Heavenly Father, there is so much in Scripture that we don't know. You have hidden so much from us. But Lord, we are grateful that you have given to us exactly what we need for faith in you and life everlasting through your Son. So ultimately, Lord, we are. That is what is important here. The rest of it is fun discussion. But help us to stay mindful, Lord, of your Son, his birth, his death, and his resurrection for us, so that we can be with you and eat from the tree of life forever. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.